You know, I really don't know about you, but I have a feeling that most of us are kind of getting over this holding pattern that we've been in for more than 3 months now. It's really kind of getting old. One of the things that's brought me a little bit of relief is the funny ways that people have been expressing their boredom on posts and memes and just the way that they're trying to occupy their time. That is becoming less and less as more and more things are opening up, and that really is encouraging. But the other day, I found a kind of a dumb article online with links to the 35 most pointless websites for killing time. 35 of the most pointless websites for killing time. One was nothing more than a graphic of a toilet paper roll. And depending upon how you moved your cursor, the toilet paper completely rolled all off, or if you moved it up, it rolled back all on, all the way full, up, down, full, unfull, roll on, roll off. It was pointless. Another was called Corn Dog on Corn Dog, and all it was a picture of two corn dogs on a plate with mustard. That's it. No music, nothing else, just two corn dogs on a plate with mustard. Pointless. Then there's the Make Everything Okay website. It's a picture of a button on a screen that you can click. And when you click it, a loading bar appears that's labeled Making Everything Okay is in progress. The bar finishes loading, and then another window appears that says Everything is now okay. The only thing that changes is the screen. Your situation hasn't changed. Your circumstances haven't changed. Nothing has changed except the screen that says everything is now okay. And obviously, you can just keep doing it over and over again, and everything really isn't okay. It's pointless. Our sermon series is called What's the Point? And we've asked, what's the point about church? What's the point about relationships? What's the point about Jesus? And last week, Trey had a message on what's the point about the Bible. And today, we're going to answer the question, what's the point about grace? Grace is commonly understood as an undeserved blessing, a gift that you weren't expecting. It's God inserting himself into our daily lives, and he says, here. This is for you. Here is encouragement. Here is wisdom. Here is strength. Here's an opportunity. Here is a friend. Here's family coming to see you that you didn't know was coming to see you. Those kinds of things. It's a different way of looking at God than many expect or understand. But that's the way that Jesus tried to explain the kingdom of God, how he tried to explain our relationship with God. Over and over, he used stories to do that. What's the point about grace? Well, to help answer that question, we're going to look at one of the stories that Jesus told to explain what the kingdom of God was really like and what God was really like. one of those stories that he told was about a landowner that had some crops in a field, and he needed workers to come in and tend to that field. The landowner goes in early in the morning into town and to get some workers to work in his field. He talks with them, they talk with him, and they agree to do the work for a fair day's wage. He lets the workers go and begin work in his field. Mid-morning, he goes back into town, finds some more workers. They agree on a wage that's fair and right. He does the same thing then at noon, in the middle of the afternoon. And then, just as the day is ending, when there's really not a whole lot of daylight left, he sees some guys just sitting around. He says, "How come you're not working in my fields?" And they say, "Because no one's hired us." He hires them on the spot and sends them off into the field. Even at that hour, when daylight is fading, he's got all these workers in his field. And this is how the Bible finishes up the story that Jesus tells us. In Matthew chapter 20, he says, "That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only for 1 hour, and yet you paid them as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." You know, this story really isn't complicated as it might seem. There are some simple yet powerful lessons that we can learn about grace and what the point of grace really is. One of the things that stands out real quick is how many times the landowner goes in to get people to work in his fields. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he goes in to find people to come and work in his field. It's not the workers who are looking for a job that find the landowner. It's the landowner who's the proactive one. He's the one that keeps coming in to find more people. And the last time he comes in, there's hardly any time left in the day to get work done, but he's still bringing more people in. He's still finding more people. And the point I'm trying to tell you is grace finds us. Grace finds us. God knows who we are and where we are. He knows what we're doing and what we're not doing. He knows what we're good at and what we're not good at. He reaches out to you and me in so many ways to do the very things that he created us to do. It's not just an announcement that I or Trey or John might have about needing some help with a church event or something like that. It's that text that you get from someone that says, "Hey, I'm moving this Saturday. Can you help me? And can you bring your truck?" It's God who knows you and knows what you're good at saying, "I need you to do something for them because of me." But wait, I thought grace was like a blessing that comes to me, not necessarily something that I do for somebody else. It is. Have you ever done something for someone, and when it was all said and when it was all over, you thought, "You know what? I know that I helped this person, but I actually got a lot more out of it than I think I gave." Has that ever happened to you? Do you know, there are multiple personality tests right now. DISC, Myers-Briggs, ProScan. People all over are taking them, and employers sometimes will have employees take these personality tests to find out what really makes them tick, what they like, and how they're going to behave under certain circumstances. I want you to understand, God doesn't need a DISC profile to know you more. He doesn't need a Myers-Briggs to say, "Understand that you are the perfect person to work in the children's ministry." That's not how it works. You're going to do something for God, but after a while, you're going to find out that you actually need to work with those kids as much as those kids need you to work with them. That's the blessing that comes up. God will get your attention while you're driving. He'll keep you awake one night and say, "I've got something that I need you to do." In the beginning, you're going to obey and you're going to follow God because it's God. And hey, you're not going to tell him no. And you actually might think you're doing him a favor. But as I said, in the long run, you find out that God knew that you needed to do this. The blessing is that God found you. He chose you. He sought you for this. That's the whole point. So the landowner finds all these workers, brings them to his fields to work, and then the end of the day comes. It's pay time. Everybody lines up. The guys who showed up last are paid first. And they get paid what the landowner agreed to pay the guys who showed up at the very beginning of the day. Unusual. And when the guys who showed up first see that, they're thinking, oh my goodness, if those guys got that much, we're going to get some serious money here. But their excitement turns to disappointment, and even more than that, really, really quick, when they get the same amount that the guys who got paid first received. They're frustrated, and they let the landowner know that. Now, let's back up a little bit. You really can't read this story from Matthew chapter 20 without reading the end of the chapter prior to it. At the end of chapter 19, Jesus is having a conversation with a wealthy young man who comes up and asks him, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, rather matter-of-factly, responds, "You need to obey the commandments." And the young man says, "Okay, well, which ones?" And Jesus says, "Well, this one and this one and this one." And the young man almost interrupts him and says, "I have. That one I've done, and this one I've done, and that one and that one and that one. What more do I need to do?" And Jesus says, "I'll tell you what. Take everything that you have, sell it, and give it to the poor." When this wealthy young man heard Jesus reply, he turned around and walked away. And the Bible says that he walked away sad. Why? Because he had a lot. Now, those guys that were following Jesus, they witnessed this interaction, this verbal exchange between Jesus and the wealthy young man. And when they heard what Jesus said to him, they were stunned. They were totally caught off guard. And they said to Jesus, "If a guy like that can't be saved, well, then who can?" You see, just as then, many people believe that a sign that God likes you is the fact that you have a lot of stuff, that your life is good, and your life is good if you have a lot of stuff. They listen to the discussion between Jesus and the young man who had a lot of stuff, and they're thinking, wait, it's not supposed to work like that. You see, that's the point of grace. Grace isn't earned. It doesn't work like that at all. In Jesus' story, the workers in the field who were there all day, they're mad because the guys who were there only for the last part of the day got paid more for doing less. They said, "It's not fair." But don't you remember at the beginning when I recounted, just kind of went over the story, the landowner goes into town, he finds them at the very beginning of the day, and they talked back and forth, and they both agreed that what the landowner was going to pay them was fair. And now they're saying it's not fair. At the end of the day, they're arguing, and the landowner says, "I'm not being unfair to you. This is my money. Are you jealous of me being kind?" See, this isn't a matter of fairness. It's a matter of perspective. Did the landowner give some workers less, or did he give some workers more? Does God give some people less grace, or does he give some people more grace? It's a matter of perspective. If someone believes that grace is earned, they're likely to make sure that everyone else earns grace too. And if they believe that someone has gotten grace that they didn't deserve, they're going to let God know it. "God, do you know how long I've been working in this ministry? Do you know how long I've been serving in this church? Do you know how long I've been helping my parents?" And this person shows up and they've only been here for a few weeks or for a few months or for whatever, and now somebody's giving them a gift card. "Where's my gift card, God?" See, that's how some people look at that. If grace really can be earned, then it really is only and always about what we do. It's only and always about how much we give and how often. And if we give more, we don't get more. No, no. If we give more, we have earned more. And people have really good memories about that. And suddenly, the blessings of God are available to the highest bidder and nothing more. Yet if someone believes that grace is given, they are thrilled when grace is given to anyone at any time. And they're going to let God know it. God, I had no idea when I was working in that ministry what to do. And yet you helped me. You helped me by bringing people who did know. You helped me by bringing people who didn't know, but they were just willing to help. And God, you didn't just bless me. You blessed them. You're always blessing, God. And it's not because we're good. It's because you're good. God, you bless and you give and you give and you bless. God, you are so good. That's a person who understands that grace from God is given. Now you might be saying, yeah, Shan, I get it. And I do agree with you. But you know, those guys did work longer and in the hardest part of the day. You know, you're right. On that day, they did. On every day? Does it work out that way for everyone all the time? I can imagine that it wasn't always like that. I want you to consider that it wasn't the only day that the landowner hired workers for his field. And it wasn't the only day that workers were in town hoping that they would get hired. Maybe there were days where they didn't get hired at all. Maybe there were days when they got hired and they worked hard and got paid more than they thought they were going to get paid. And then there are those days when you work hard and you find out that the job was a lot harder than you expected. I think that Jesus' story here is not necessarily about salvation as much as it is about the grace God gives to serve him and work for him. It's not that the guys who worked all day didn't get paid. They did. They got exactly what the landowner said they would receive. Their day was a little different than the guys who came in later. Yeah, that's true. They said, we've worked all day in the scorching heat. But they didn't get less. They received the same. It just took longer to get it. Consider also the end of chapter 19. They've heard the discussion, the followers of Jesus heard the discussion between Jesus and that young wealthy man. And they thought, if he can't get into heaven, then who can really? And that's when Peter tells Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus replies, anyone who has left homes and family and belongings to follow me will receive 100 times more. More. Huh. Jesus ends the discussion with those followers the same way that he ends his story. He says, many who are first will be last, but many who are last will be first. Jesus tells the story to ask Peter and the rest of the guys, hey, why really are you following me? Why really are you serving? And Jesus then by extension asks us, what are our motivations for serving God? Do we serve God so he'll like us and he'll give us stuff? Or do we serve God because he loved us before we started serving him? And he gives us stuff whether we're serving him or not. Do we serve him because we love him? Or do we serve him because it's in our best interests? The wealthy young man was sad because he thought he was going to lose whatever he had earned. Jesus tells Peter, whatever you gave up in order to follow me will be given back, and then so much more. You see, the point of grace is that grace finds us, grace isn't earned, and grace gives more. Always more. Sometimes we can be discouraged. Sometimes we can be frustrated. Sometimes we think it's not fair the way that we serve God and we don't seem to get anything, and other people really don't serve God at all and they seem to have everything. Sometimes we get frustrated and discouraged because it doesn't seem fair that serving God really works out here. Jesus says the kingdom's not like that at all. That's not how it works with God. Those who are working for God to get stuff here in this life, they'll be first right now. But later on, they'll be last. But those who are serving God because God has been good to them, they may be last now. They may not get some things in this life, but they'll be first then. And in the meantime, that time in the field is more time with the landowner, more time in the kingdom with God, more contentment, more peace, more reassurance, more joy, more hope, more blessing, more grace. The point of grace is found in the fact that God knows you. He knows what you're good at, and he calls you. He made you, so he knows what you're capable of, and so he wants you and your abilities and your talents and your desires to come and serve where he knows you're going to have a purpose in life, and having fulfilled that purpose, you're going to have joy. Grace finds you. The point of grace is also in the fact that we're not working for God so he'll give us stuff. God's already giving. He never stopped giving. He's already blessing. We're serving in the grace that he's already given us. And in the meantime, he keeps adding to that. He keeps on giving. Because grace is not earned. Grace is that gift that you never expected. And grace isn't found in the fact that God gives more than you and I can measure. Just about the time we're losing the smile from the last gift, he shows up with the next one, and we start to smile all over again. You and I come to the cross with absolutely nothing, and we walk away from the cross following him with everything. And that's so much better than pushing a button and hoping that everything will be okay. God, thank you so much for your grace, your love, your mercy. Lord, you watch over us, you bless us, you give us hope. Lord, you know exactly what we need every day. And there are times when things show up and we don't know why they're showing up, only to figure out that later on, we really did need exactly what you gave to us. Your grace is more than sufficient, God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for looking for us and finding us, knowing exactly what we needed to be doing on that day. And thank you for giving us grace, not making it something that we could earn, so that we would keep score with one another and have contempt for one another. No, God, you bless us each individually, and you know exactly what will bring us joy and encouragement. Help us to give the grace that you've given to us. Help us to give it to others, God. We love you, we thank you, and pray this all in Jesus' gracious name. Amen.